up from the ashes. Your love has brought us out of the darkness into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burden. You are alive. Up from the ashes, your love has brought us out of the darkness into the light, lifting our sorrows, bearing our burdens, healing our hearts. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah, hallelujah.
Chains have been broken.
Chains have been broken. Eyes have been opened. Army of dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated. We are victorious. You are alive. To a God we lift up one voice. To a God we lift up one song. To a God we lift up one voice. Sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. Sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. Sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice. To our God we lift up one song. To our God we lift up one voice. Sing hallelujah. 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 Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah,
make his praise,
make his praise glorious, 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 shout his name, glorious, glorious, glorious. Lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah, 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 sing hallelujah, hallelujah. His face, glorious, glorious, glorious.
The Valley of Dry Bones was huge. And the process of those bones coming to life again were first the clicking of the bones coming back together. And all of the process that it took. But the point at which those dry bones lived again was the breath of God. And some of us may feel like we hardly have enough energy for another breath, for another chance. But can I just say that it's His breath in us, Him breathing through us. So if we could just go over that verse one more time, Glenn, and the soft section of the chorus like you just did. I'm just going to invite anybody that just feels you have hardly another energy to take another step in your Christian walk, or you just feel like God needs to breathe for you. I just invite you just to come up here and just get it. Like that woman with the issue of blood, she had to get it. She had to go get it. And sometimes it takes that first step of obedience to get it. So let's go ahead and do that again, Glenn, and this area is open.
Chains have been broken, eyes have been opened, army of dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated, we are victorious, you are alive.
Let's sing that again.
Chains have been broken, eyes have been opened, an army of dry bones is starting to rise. Death is defeated, we are victorious, you are alive. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah. To our God we lift up one voice, to our God we lift up one song, to our God we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sing hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Hallelujah. for his name, glorious, glorious, glorious. He'll make his praise glorious, glorious, glorious. He'll shout his name, glorious. God, we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah. To a God, we lift up one voice. To a God, we lift up one song. To a God, we lift up one voice, sing hallelujah. Sing hallelujah. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercies. And all of a sudden, I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory. When I realize just how beautiful you are now. He loves us so. heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. And my heart beats violently inside of my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way. Heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss, and my heart beats violently inside my chest, and I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way that He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh,
shout it out and lift up one voice in worship.
So we shout it out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth, till they can hear it. Jesus is alive and he saves. He rescues and saves. So we shout.
Standing over here, and the Lord gave me a vision. Thought I should share it with you guys. Imagine, like, it's kind of later night, like 7, 8 o'clock. Like, it's not quite dark, but it is. And there's like a rock face, and there's a pasture in front of it, and it's all fenced in, and there are sheep. And there's a light, like, coming off of like the rock face down where the shepherd is shearing off the sheep. Except there's one kind of next to the fence, and the gate's kind of propped open. And he isn't sure if he wants to go in there or while the shepherd is busy going out into the dark pasture. And Lord was like revealing to me that when we, the sheep, get sheared, it's like when we are cleansed of sins, like when we are forgiven. And that one sheep has been drawn out by whatever it was to the darkness, like to the darker part of the pasture. So he's being tempted away from it. And that door is open, and like we do have free will, we can go where we want. But that light is still there, and we need to go back to it, and let Jesus cleanse us of all of that. It reminded me of another story I read where there was this sheep that wandered off for 40 years, and they found him, and he had so much wool on him that like he could barely move. It was like 60 pounds of it. It was horrible. But then, when he got cleansed, he was so free. And I don't know where else to go with that.
We shouted out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and he says, rescues and saves. So we shouted out and lift up one voice in worship. Sing it out until all the earth can hear it. Jesus is alive and saves. He rescues and saves. He rescues and saves. He rescues and saves. Come on, sing it. He rescues and saves. Put it on your heart, your hand. He rescues and saves. He rescues and saves. Come on, believe it. He rescues and saves. You don't have to go out that gate. He rescues and saves. He rescues and saves. Doesn't matter how much wool of sin you have. He rescues and saves. The condition doesn't matter. He rescues and saves. He rescues and saves. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Spirit of Truth. Picture of love today, a picture of redemption. We just receive right now by faith, God, that word that says that you're the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You've made us the light of the world. And Father, we pray for every person, God, that's family members, co-workers, relatives, God, that don't know you, that are maybe totally outside in the pasture right now, or maybe just hanging on the fence. Father, let the love of God, that bright light, shine in us. We represent you. We are you here on the earth, God. You rescue and save. So if you rescue and save, we rescue and save. So Lord, we receive our rescuing and saving right now, so that we can go out and extend a hand, a lifeline, Lord, to those who need your rescuing and saving in their life. You rescue and save. You rescue and save. You rescue and save. Yes, God. Simple concept. Jesus is alive. He's not dead. He's alive. We forget it sometimes, don't we? Just that simple concept that he is alive. He dwells and lives in each and every one of us here today. And I'm hearing in the music, hearing in the early morning prayer, hearing from the prophetic words that he wants to be that good shepherd to you. He wants to love you. And it does not matter your condition. It doesn't matter how long you've been out in the North 40. He's willing and ready right now to clean you up. It's his pleasure to do it. It's not a job that he clocks into and he can't wait to clock out of and get off the job site and go and kick back. No, he loves being our good shepherd. It brings him joy to shear us. It brings him joy to clean us up. Jesus. Have your way, Lord. Have your way in our hearts. Release your glory right now, God, into us. Thank you, Jesus. of glory and praise. Oh, Jesus, you have won me. You've broken every chain with love and mercy, and you triumphed over death, and you are worthy of glory and praise.
Yes, Lord Jesus. Yes. Praise God. Thank you, team. That's awesome. Praise God. We were calling this unplugged. If you look, it's anything but unplugged. Jesse says, it's not unplugged. Because Jesse, you know, he wants things to be what we're describing them as. And if we tell him it's unplugged, he's thinking, oh, I don't even have to come in today. Yeah, then it would be unplugged. Acoustic. It's acoustic. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Eric, for joining us today from California. Eric and Nancy are in the house, Skyly and Caden. And so, last week we said hi to Reggie and Val. And today, they're in church the day after their wedding day. So, I mean, if that's not, I told them, man, you guys are radical. You guys are hardcore. They love the Lord. That's obvious. It's their honeymoon. There you go. Now, I'm sure you guys are going to go somewhere, right? No, you're not? You still don't know? It's going to be like a total surprise. You're just going to end up someplace. Huh? He's going to blindfold you. It could happen. Praise the Lord. Well, how's everyone doing today? Good? Awesome. Blessed. Amen. Amen. Well, I think Impact's going down, right? Yeah. The children are staying up today. We had some individuals who had to be at a baptism for family members. So I really believe in families. And so I just said, okay, we'll see if you can find someone else. I couldn't find anyone else. So children, you get to stay up and just enjoy the message that I'm going to bring. I'll try to make sure I don't get too complicated or up there. But Impact, let me go ahead and just, Impact is our teens and our high school and middle school. So if you are Impact, go ahead and stand up and I'll just pray over you and release you. Oh, you're not Impact, Brian. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for these hearts, God, that are going to go and receive today, Lord, your word. Pray for the teachers, God, that they would be able to communicate the truth of your word to them, Lord, that they would be able to be, God, changers, Lord, in their environment, Lord, as they go onto their school grounds and they go, Lord, with their friends, God, that they would be the influencer, not the one being influenced, God, that as the word says, that they wouldn't be conformed to the world, Lord, but they would be transformed, God, by the renewing of their minds, Lord, into who you have made them and called them to be. So we bless them now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. There we go. Oops. Sorry. Okay, so we have a few things here to go over. Again, if you need a sheet for 24/7 prayer, it's right up here on this clipboard. This coming Friday, that's right. 24/7 this coming Friday. But I have a few events to go over, a lot actually. So just bear with me here as I do a couple announcements. We didn't do them at the beginning, but it doesn't matter when we actually do them. September 14th is the Saturday men's breakfast, 9:30 a.m. Yep, that'll be good. Any men who would like to help in any way set up or have something on their heart that they would like to share, please contact me. September 14th, that same day, we're going to restart Saturday night prayer, and I'll have a clipboard probably next week, or I'll call one of the host homes and see if they're willing to be a host home again. We're going to go to once a month, and we're going to basically gather at a home, and we pray together. We spend time sometimes just listening to some worship, and we just pray for, you know, whatever needs the Lord puts on our hearts. Most of the time, we just draw close to Him, which that's always good. Then on that Monday is when we start our 90-day through the Bible. But it's not through the whole Bible. It's through the New Testament. So be a little easier on us. You want to go through the whole Bible, Glenn?
You can if you want. I made it through like 31
days. Oh, okay. You might be able to make it through the New Testament then. A little easier. And we'll have a schedule for that. Again, we start on the 16th. So hopefully we'll be able to all just be on the same page, reading the same verses, and be able to communicate with each other about them. On September 21st, we're going to have a church work day at 8 a.m. Yeah, fun. Don't plan on being out of town that day. Just come and roll up your sleeve and let's beautify the church. September 29th is One Life Kids Super Sunday. That was just last week, and I know that the kids had an awesome time, so that'll be coming again the end of the month. And on that same night, we're going to have a Sunday night worship time. So basically, what we do on Sunday mornings, you know, we get to have worship. But this could be extended worship. This could just be worship until the cows go home, and we'll be the cows when we go home. But, you know, just worship and just enjoy the presence of the Lord and just see what He wants to do. We've had a lot of people say, we want worship. So that's what it's going to be. We're just going to worship God. And, you know, if someone has, you know, a word or to share, it can be during that time of worship. Where are we at now? October 12th will be Men's Transformed, and the 19th will be Women's Transformed. And don't have room for it. The following week will be the youth. So praise the Lord. You can get one of these in the back unless they're all gone. I think there's probably still a few back there. Huh? There's plenty? Okay. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, on Friday afternoon, I was doing something, and I just thought that the Lord was going to have me share on this. And then on Saturday, I was doing something, and a word dropped in my heart. And that one, I haven't really been able to let go. And so I'm going to share on compassion today, the word compassion. Actually, when you were praying this morning, you said that many times. And the love of God is the ultimate compassion. I mean, the love of God is poured out to us when we don't deserve it. It's freely given to us when we don't, when we're not looking for it. So this whole service has been talking about the love of God. So if you will turn with me in your Bibles to, okay, open my Bible here. Matthew 9:36. Let's see here. Or we could start at 35, but it's just one verse up, not like a whole chapter. Let's see. It says here, Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Well, that's another thing that the Lord was really hammering today, was him being our shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." And if you go to 10, immediately after it says, and when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits. It's almost like, pray about this, and then tell you what, let's just do what we prayed. And he sends out his disciples. This word compassion is a word that, you know, we use, but it is a I think it maybe has lost some of its true meaning. And so today I kind of want to draw that out so that when we hear when Jesus had compassion, we picture what was going on inside. I know sometimes when, you know, you think of the word compassion, you think of somebody, you know, feeding somebody who doesn't have any food, you know, somebody who has something giving to someone else who doesn't have. And that is compassion. That is, you know, helping. But that's truly not what compassion is. Compassion is a very, very, very deep thing. And I believe that for the most part, we don't enter into compassion because we block something when it starts taking effect on us. And I'm going to, you know, be the one who takes the heat today because I'll share some of my testimonies of how I have blocked compassion from moving. I think compassion is within all of us. I think it's not just a thing that certain people have. Well, they're compassionate. I believe being in Christ, we have the capacity to be fully compassionate to the place where we will go to extreme measures to fulfill how that compassion drives us. We won't just stay, you know, in just like, oh, I got to do something. We'll move into that place where we actually do something with the compassion that's driving us. So with that said, let's look at this word compassion a little bit. Now, I'm first going to look at the etymology and the definition of the English word compassion. Then we'll take a look a little bit at the Greek. But I love just some of the Latin and the English of what it really means. And if you just think about those, it's very, very powerful. So, I never did get that translation. Okay, no worries. So the etymology, which means basically the root of where this word came from, the Latin meaning literally means co-suffering, co-suffering. So if you see someone suffering and you're moved with compassion, you're literally to suffer for their sake. Now you think about Jesus. He was the ultimate example of compassion because he saw where we were. He saw that the only way that mankind was going to be brought back to the Father was through ultimate suffering. And so through compassion, Jesus passionately went to the cross. So the English noun compassion means to suffer together with. That word com means literally with passion. So when we think of compassion, it really means to go beyond our comfort zone into someone else's need, someone else's crisis. Usually, you know, if we're going to exhibit compassion to someone who has a need, if we're not, you know, well-to-do, it usually means that we're going to, and we're going to move with compassion, we're going to usually take a loss a little bit ourselves. And it's hard. That's one of the things that sometimes can limit you. It's easy to say, oh, I have compassion. You know, when you have $1,000 in your pocket, you give somebody, you know, has need, $20. Say, oh, well, I was compassionate. No, really you weren't because there was no suffering involved. True compassion is going to require suffering. True compassion is going to require going beyond your comfort zone into a place of uncomfortable. A place of where you literally have to rely on God now because you're taking him as your source, not what you have. So let's go ahead and take a look at this Greek word, and then we'll get into a few examples in the scripture where Jesus was moved with compassion. And then a few in the writings of Paul and some of the other apostles about how we are to then example compassion with each other and, of course, with this lost and dying world. So the word compassion, and I know I'm literally going to butcher this word. This word is like one wild one in the Greek. I usually butcher them all the time anyway, but this one I know I'm going to butcher. Okay, get ready. Splang nid zumahi. Yeah. Repeat that three times. Splang nid zumahi. That's what it says You know, that's the, basically it's helping me right now because it's showing me the breakdown in what it would phonetically sound like. But it literally means our bowels, our innards. You know, when Judas betrayed Jesus, he was filled with remorse at a certain point, and he throws the silver coins down back at the foot of the priest, and he says, this was innocent blood, you know, and said, you know, that's on your hands, basically, they say. So he goes, and he hangs himself. And it says that when he hung himself, something happened. I don't know if he fell against a rock or the rope broke, but it says that literally his bowels came out. Yeah, sorry, kids. They probably don't know what I'm saying. Good. But anyway, it's that internal part of us that, you know, your bowels hurt when you're nervous. You got to go talk in front of somebody or, you know, anybody you have to do speech class and all of a sudden you're like, oh man, I've got knots. I can't even talk, you know. You still had to go up there and mumble through your words to try to get it great. You probably remember that, Valerie, and interns. Yeah, so you know, but you have to say something. Well, that's that splaying, whatever you want to say. That's that noun. That's that innered part of us that's getting all tied up in knots. Now, that same part of us is the heart of compassion. You know, how many of you have been watching a show and all of a sudden it's late night and all of a sudden you get a 30-minute infomercial on the suffering children of Africa? And I mean, you see that bloated belly, you see them, you know, with a lot of times just no, they're walking around with no clothes on, and some people say, well, they're bloated belly, well, they have food. No, that's bloated because they're so malnourished. They have no nutrition. And so, you know, you're watching a show and you go, I really don't have time for this. Well, you're really, you know, you don't want to have that compassion start to get worked on. You know, you flip the channel and you watch something else, you know. And I've done that, folks. I've done that. I don't want to be moved to the place where I have to do something. Usually there's an 800 number, call and sponsor a child. You know, I'm just being honest now. And I blocked that compassion from taking over. That inner part of me that's I believe connected with God, and literally it will be touched in such a way that my hook to God will start drawing mercy, and what it really draws out of you is action. See, if you're really moved with compassion, you're moved to action. You're not moved to just sitting and going, oh, that's a terrible thing. You're moved to action. Compassion will drive you to meet that need. Let's see here. It means to be moved as to one's bowels. Hence, to be moved with compassion, have compassion. For the bowels were thought to be the seat of love and pity. So does everybody follow me so far? Okay, so let's see here. Jesus saw the multitudes. He sees. He didn't just, you know, stay with he was seeing something with his eyes. And that seeing, another place it says that when he saw the multitudes, oh, it's going to be ahead of us, he saw them and he realized that they were being scattered and they had no shepherd. There was nobody leading them. There was nobody giving them the answer. And because of that, again, he was moved with compassion to do something. Let's go ahead and take a look at that verse, by the way. I think that is Matthew 14:14. Yeah, well, here's another one. In Matthew 14:14, it says, and when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude. He was moved with compassion for them and healed their sick. So see, he was moved to a place where he saw the need, he saw the desperation, and he healed their sick because of it. Another place says, I think it's Matthew 18:27. Yes. No. Glad you guys are patient. Here we are. It says here in Mark 6:34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them many things." So he saw the multitude, he saw their condition, and you say, well, he just taught them. Jesus taught them life. Jesus taught them how to live. Jesus taught them how to be free. Jesus was moved in such a way that he didn't keep what he had to himself. You know, how many times have you been around somebody and you just know they need to hear the good news? And you see their condition and it's like, wow, they just need the truth. And sometimes we give it. And sometimes we give it because the compassion has moved us. We can't wait anymore. You know, we can't wait for another opportunity to talk to him. We start sharing with him. Well, that compassion has made you move to the place where you're ready to share. But there's other times that we let fear and anxiety cover up that yearning in our gut. That desire gets covered up by well, what would they think? Or what if I mess up? And we let it get squelched. But I'm here to tell you that in Christ, we don't have to let that happen. In Christ, we can let the compassion of God flow. And we can let it flow to the place where we put ourselves in an uncomfortable situations. But you know who's going to come through when we do that? When we step out of the boat, God is there to elevate us so that we walk on water. We do the impossible. We do the miraculous because he's empowering us. Not under our own strength, under his strength, under his guidance, under his direction, under his wisdom, under his truth. Let me go back here again. Remind me to never run with my notes on this pocket Bible. Anybody, honey, remind me. Jesse, remind me. Because what's good for personal study is not working well for preaching. I put all my scripture references in my notes. Problem is, when I go to one of the notes, one of the scripture references, it takes me completely out of the note. So now I'm in a blank spot, and it's like, you have dead air. People on the internet are turning the channel. Is that a squirrel? It's not a squirrel, it's the truth. No squirrels involved here. This is the truth. This is what's happening. There you go. Or I just need a pad and paper, you know, and just go back to, just forget this technology stuff and go back to the dark ages. I know, that's what I need to do. I'm not anymore. I go to add up my just a couple of things in my checkbook. This is truth. This is truth. I go to add up a couple of things on my checkbook, and I'm pulling out my calculator on my phone because my brain is like going mushy. Yeah.
Maybe you just need another iPad.
One, oh, two iPads right beside each other? There you go. He's got the answer. Okay, let's go ahead now and turn to 1 Peter. I'm just going to bag all the rest of these references and forget it. It's, you find it here. 1 Peter 3:8. 1 Peter 3:8. Now, Peter is now basically encouraging the brethren, and he's giving a finally remark, and he's saying, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. So this is, I mean, it's easy to say, okay, we got to have compassion for those who are without. We got to have compassion for those who don't have what we have. You know, that would be like the rich man who constantly walked past Lazarus every single day. And he saw his conditions. He saw that he basically
was without. And the rich man kept ignoring him. I believe the rich man squelched that compassion from rising up in him. And he worried about his own money, kept counting it. And eventually one day he died. And he ends up in hell. And it says that Lazarus ended up in the bosom of Abraham and was in a place of great joy and life. And this one man could see across this great chasm. And Jesus described that you saw Lazarus every day and you ignored him. And now he's receiving his inheritance and you're receiving what is due you because you never even had compassion. Now, obviously, it wasn't just because he ignored Lazarus. There's much more going on with the man's heart. But I'm saying that it should not be hard for us as Christians to see need, and if we have it, to help. But what about our brothers and sisters? What about when we see a brother and sister in need? Now, this may not be financial need. This may be spiritual need. This may be they need somebody to come alongside of them and tell them how to live for Christ. Not in a way that's like demanding or in a way that's an authoritarian, but in a way that takes them by the hand. Come here for a second, Tyson. Takes them by the hand, says, brother, you know, I've walked some of the path that you've got ahead of you. So I'm going to walk alongside of you and we're going to take our time. I'm going to be there with you. Now watch that right there. I tripped over that 5 years ago and that really hurt. So let's not go that way. Let's go over here. This path over here is a lot more smoother. That path is not good. That's got a few swampy areas in it. And so you basically take them along and you can say, well, okay, you're going to go ahead and spend some cell time with him. No, I'm talking about he becomes a brother in Christ to the place where you now have a relationship for the rest of life. Mm-hmm. Now, I had to exhibit compassion for him. I had to be able to say, you know what? My whole 24 hours, my whole 7 days a week, my whole 365 days a year is not mine. It's Christ's. And so my brother's need here spiritually is important to me because it's important to Christ. And so I'm going to now put myself in maybe a time where I have to say, okay, you know, I have to set that aside. And now I have to take his life and esteem him greater than myself and put time and energy and effort and love into my brother so that he doesn't make the same mistakes I do, so that he can be catapulted quicker into greater things in the kingdom of God. So he can start walking in places where I maybe have never walked because I'm going to enable him to even hear the voice of God better because I'll say, you know, this is how I listen, but you know what? I believe God's doing more in you than he ever did in me. And you start speaking life into them and you take the life that's in you and you give it to them. But now they're able to receive the greater life that's in Christ. See, compassion doesn't just mean you're going to feed somebody or give them money. Compassion means you're going to be moved to go the extra mile. And he may not even know he needs my compassion. You know, most people who don't have money, they know that they have a need. They got to get their bills paid. They got to get food for their kids. Or somebody who is in a desperate situation health-wise, they really know they have a need. But, you know, a spiritual brother or sister may not know that they have a desperate need in their life. And you may have to even go beyond the comfortable part of letting them know that you're willing and able to be there for them when they don't want you to even be there for them. But you know you need to be there for them. That's the way Jesus is to us. He sees our need, and even though we don't think we need him, he makes it known to us that we need him. He makes it explicitly clear to us that we need him. He doesn't keep it in a way that we just have to, you know, kind of meander through life and try to figure things out. He makes it very clear. He is the light. I believe anybody who says, I can't know God, I've never heard of Jesus, I believe they're just turning off the voice inside of them. I believe God is blasting inside of most of us if we would just take the time to listen and open our heart and say, I want truth. And let me give you one more verse. Thank you, Lord. This is in 1
John. I've used this before. Now, this is actually using the noun of that verb of the, and I'm not going to pronounce it, that word that Jesus was moved with compassion. This is the noun of that. And he says here, if someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need, but shows no compassion, shows no moving of the bowels for compassion, for a heart of wanting to co-suffer, to come alongside them and say, you know what, you're in need and I have something here. I'm going to take what I have and give it to you, even if it hurts me. How can God's love be in that person? That is so, what do I want to say? When you read that, that's so convicting. If we have and we see the need, whether it's physical or spiritual, and we don't meet that need according to all that we've been given, how can the love of God be in us? Are we operating in the love of God? See, that's a challenging verse. God loves us. We heard that today. We know he loves us. He rescues and saves us. We know that. But this love that he puts in us is not just given to us willy-nilly. It's an entrustment. It's given to us so that we do something with it. See, we don't have just so that we can be okay. We have so that we can give away. Remember that. We don't have so we can be okay. We have so we can give away. And when we give it away, guess what? More is returned back to us. What does that mean? Well, if we give away love, guess what? You receive more of the love of God in your heart. The more Tysons you walk along with in life, say, well, I can only do one at a time. Why? Why do you think that? Because you're using your natural mind. Well, I only have so much time, only have so much, you know. In God, he can do a lot. In Christ, he can do the impossible. Guess what? That means you can do the impossible. But the more Tysons you take alongside, or the more Angelas for the women here. Men should not be taking women and discipling. Right? And women don't take men. That's wrong. Because you, number one, can't relate to them. And if you think you can, you got problems. And come see me and I will talk about that. But the point being is that men with men, women with women. And as you take that time and you pour into them love and time, guess what? God pours back into you more love, more time that you have more available. Jesus spent himself in such a way that, you know, he took time in a boat when they were just traveling to sleep. He poured out his life as an offering. And I believe if we have the courage, because it takes courage to say, you know what, Lord, let my life be poured out as an offering. Let our family be poured out as an offering for this lost and dying world. For maybe my loved ones who don't truly know. Let my life be spilled out, broken and spilled out, just as the alabaster jar was busted at Jesus' feet. It's a sweet incense to God, a broken life. A spilled out life. And the thing is that it's not our power that we're going to be under doing it. It's his. But you got to let compassion move you. You got to let other people's problems hurt you. You got to take on other people's suffering. You've got to be at a place where you don't just turn things off. I'm speaking to myself now. When you hear need. You don't just say, well, I'm really busy, I don't have time for this, and you turn it off when there's an opportunity for the compassion of God to move in such a way that miracles take place. Doesn't say it, but I believe what drove Peter wasn't just, you know, that he was walking in the power to grab that man's hand and say, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you. Rise up in the name of Jesus Christ and walk. I believe there was some compassion driving him. There was some heart of Christ that he had seen and had demonstrated to him. Now with the Holy Spirit's empowerment in walking as a son, he was able to let compassion lift that man up onto his feet. And a glorious miracle took place. See, I believe compassion keeps us one step from revival. Because it's when we allow ourselves to co-suffer with those with the great need that then we will, I believe, move into extreme healings, miraculous touch, words of knowledge, words of wisdom. I believe it's the compassion of God that's inside of us. If we'll release it, we'll go into the highways and the byways. And we won't say, well, I'm suffering for Christ. We'll enjoy it like the good shepherd does. We'll get to a place where literally the disciples will come to you and say, you got to eat something, master, because you need some food. You haven't eaten for a while. No. I don't. I just had a meal sharing with this good Samaritan woman. Thanks. I'll eat next time. See, he feasted on a heavenly diner right there. And what was he doing? The will of the Father. Come on, compassion is available to us. Just don't get to a place where you turn it off. And I know there's many of you in here that live a life of compassion because you've let it. You've let other people's needs touch you. And good, praise God, good for you. And I thank the Lord that you're there. But I believe there's even more for you. There's even deeper levels of suffering that you can go into. Come on, let's have some co-sufferers here. Let's have some people with passion here. Let's be somebody that when we enter a room, people know that we truly love them. We truly want to help meet their need. We truly want to be Christ to them. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that you are alive and well. You've demonstrated that here today. And Father, I pray right now, in Jesus' mighty name, why don't you just take right now by faith and take your two hands and place them right on your bowels, right in your stomach. Say, Father, just right now, awaken your compassion inside of us. Father, right now, cause, Lord, what is inside of us to come alive. And that when we see, Lord, our brothers in need, when we see, Lord, our fellow man in need, Lord, when we see, God, a tragedy, Lord, that needs our help, Lord, that you would help move us with compassion. Lord, not in a way, God, that's just like the world does. Lord, we want your passion. We want your compassion. Father, we want your co-suffering, Lord, as Jesus was our divine example. Let us, Lord, be broken and spilled out for this lost and dying world. We just yield and we surrender our lives to you today in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes. We'll have people up here to pray if you have any needs, physical in your body. There's several that are making themselves available. So come on up if you have a need. Praise the Lord. The last week's message, if you guys wrote it down and I didn't give a title, it's called Liberty with Boundaries. So there you go. You can put that on the top of your page if you keep notes. God bless you all.